abre los ojos.
El mundo no va a hacerle caso a tus antojos.
Wake up ahora. Abre los ojos.
Tonight on Circle A Radio, we'll be hearing from Megan Heiss and Robinette Jones, two volunteers with the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, who have recently returned from the 16th World Festival of Youth and Students in Caracas, Venezuela. They'll talk about their experiences with the festival and grassroots organizing in Venezuela. In this program, we will also be highlighting ways in which Latin American countries are cooperating and exercising mutual aid as an alternative to free trade.
My name is Megan Heiss, and I have been a volunteer with PCASC, the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, for a couple years now. And just this weekend, I was voted onto the board of directors of the organization.
My name is Robinette Jones, and I just returned from Venezuela from the 16th World Festival of Youth and Students. And I'm just a good old volunteer here at PCASC, the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee. The festival began, the first one took place in 1947. It was a response to fascism after World War II.
So they've happened about every 4 years since then in countries that are ostensibly socialist. They've been held in Korea, they've been held in Cuba, they've been held in the Eastern European bloc. And the fact that the most recent festival was held in Venezuela, I think signals an interesting change in Venezuela's political context. What that's saying basically is that Venezuela is a socialist country, which it has not been. Now, we can go deeper. We can talk with more depth about what's happening in Venezuela. I mean, obviously, it's still engaged in the capitalist system, but they are using enormous amounts of state resources in redistributing wealth and using the state machinery for that via the state-run oil system. And social programs to increase literacy and provide universal health care in the country. And these have been amazingly successful programs. I heard about the festival through PCASC. I had just returned from Guatemala on a little mission to try to learn Spanish. Came to a meeting to help organize the PCASC delegation. I didn't really think that I was going to be chosen to go, but I was very excited about it. Well, chosen to receive the scholarship that we were organizing to get. We did. We held several benefits, and we were trying to do outreach to the labor community to help fund the trip, because obviously it's very expensive to buy tickets, last-minute plane tickets. And the cost of attending the conference for persons, delegates from the U.S. or Europe or the other ostensibly imperialist countries was $325. And our fees helped subsidize the cost of attending for other people from other countries. Some folks only paid $1. So we all worked together to develop a pot of money and send three folks there.
I had been to the social forum, the World Social Forum over there in India, in Mumbai, in 2004. And didn't have a good experience, so I thought I would give a forum/festival, one of these global gatherings, another whirl, because this time it was in Venezuela, and there's fun things happening in Venezuela. Like, it's where Venezuela's where it's at. So that's kind of why I went, and it all worked out for the better. I think the youth and student is a misnomer, because in actuality, a majority of the folks from the U.S. were between the ages, I would say, 25 and up, whereas the folks who were in high school, which the Chicago folks, who was sort of the organizing hub for the U.S. delegation, was specifically targeting high school students and folks who were 21 and under. That was not the case when we arrived in Caracas and drove to that base. The folks from the U.S. were old. Some of them could have been as old as my pop. Yeah, that title about youth and students. I mean, the group from Korea and Vietnam, actually, were all adults.
I think the idea behind a youth festival is that it's the future of these revolutionary organizations. The youth are supposed to represent the future of progressive activism, and the festival part is a celebration of our different cultures. It's a way for us to come together and cross different party lines or organizing focuses and just have a good time and understand each other. That would have been nice if it was actually ones with a fresh vision for the future. The U.S. brought 750. We heard estimates from between 15,000 to 22,000 delegates from all over the world, from 144 countries. I think the main reason for that discrepancy is that there were many Venezuelan youth who attended but were not official delegates. From Brazil, Colombia, Cuba, and Venezuela, that seemed to be the bulk of the attendees.
If you were a U.S. delegate and you arrived at the airport, you were then taken on a bus with other U.S. delegates. You go to a town called Los Teques. In the town of Los Teques, there is a military base high up in the hills. So the United States delegation, part of 50% of it, was housed in this military base. The first day of the festival, we had this huge U.S. meeting. The festival was structured where we were housed in various locations surrounding Caracas. No one was housed necessarily in Caracas itself, for logistical reasons, I'm sure. And the United States, like I said, was in Los Teques. Every day, workshops and seminars and conferences, which take place in different locales, in a theater, in an active military fort, Fuerte Tiuna. So you have Parque Central, which is not a park. In fact, it's a collection of cement slab buildings where you had events held in there. And then the most exciting part, which we forgot to talk about at our report back, was the Hilton Hotel, which is actually where all the action was, come to find out. Because housed in the Hilton Hotel were these clubhouses, right? Regional clubhouses. You would walk into the Hilton Hotel and you've got a line of Angolans with drums in red and black marching and singing through the Hilton Hotel all around the clock. And then the Cubans would come in with their drums and all these sorts of things. The Hilton Hotel was ground zero for the international party. So then you go upstairs and you have clubhouses are located upstairs. And basically the clubhouses, table after table, folks had videos. So basically it was just this maze of cultural exchange with videos, arts. So that's what you do in the clubhouses. And then meanwhile, you have the Angolans in the background or the Brazilians in the background with the drums. 24 hours on message, right? So that's the Hilton Hotel. But going back to the structure of the festival, you can either choose to go to downtown Caracas, which is where the Hilton Hotel is, which is where Fuerte Tiuna is, which is where these different locations are for the workshops/festivals/seminars. Or you could take the other bus, which is not the special bus, and go to the social programs, which was the highlight of the festival. So when you woke up in the morning, you had a decision to make. Am I going to go downtown and participate in a workshop, go to the clubhouses, or am I going to take part in the social programs? The social programs was set up to give delegates an insider's look at the missions.
The missions, they call them Las Misiones, are 11 different programs that the government has initiated as part of the new 21st century socialism in a context of an extreme poverty level, where 80% of the country lives in poverty, a massive illiteracy, very little access to affordable health care. And these are what you can call the manifestation of this poverty. These are the symptoms. The government decided to not wait to change the existing institutions that are set up to educate and clothe and feed the regular healthcare system. They said, we can't wait to reform these institutions. We need to act now. So they've created a parallel structure for alleviating the symptoms of poverty. And they're funding this through the oil revenue that generated post-Iraq war since oil prices have gone up. They've been able to use that money and apply it to education, healthcare programs, job programs. And this is what people are so excited about that we talk to. And this is kind of the concrete reality of where the revolution is headed. What's most exciting about the missions are that they are not charity from the government. People organize to make this effective in their communities. It's run and implemented by people in the neighborhoods. So you have this incredible organization in the barrios to, for instance, get a health clinic in the neighborhood. And then general oversight and organizing continues by the folks in the neighborhood. The result is that they have free 24-hour health clinics staffed by Cuban doctors in their neighborhoods. That's one of the missions, Misión Barrio Adentro, which means inside the neighborhood. And that's just one example. The other one that is so impressive, Mission Robinson, which was a massive literacy campaign modeled after the successful alphabetization program in Cuba. One of the interesting things about Venezuela's political alliances is that now it is selling discounted oil to Cuba, and in return, Cuba is providing what it can, expertise in the medical field, expertise in the education field, and this is helping everyday Venezuelans.
The fact that it was held in Venezuela in and of itself was absolutely remarkable because the Venezuelan government took the time, took this opportunity, they capitalized on it to a degree that was astounding, to infect the delegates with the spirit of the Bolivarian Revolution. When we arrived at Los Teques, the second or third day, we received our delegates' care package. And then we had a bike message bag that says, Venezuela 2005 World Festival of Youth and Student. Inside that bag, we had two documentaries. On those two videos, there were three documentaries total. One was The Revolution Will Not Be Televised in Spanish, which is great. And we also had inside that bag the biography about Chavez. We had a delegate's manual. We had another book about Chavez called The Chavez Code, which is actually about the U.S. military intervention and otherwise in Venezuela. We also had a constitution, a copy of the Bolivarian Constitution. We also had a delegate's manual, which included a list of the missions and a brief explanation on them. And then it had a brief explanation on Chavez, on Venezuela, the people, the culture, this revolution. All throughout the festival, everywhere you went, I don't care if you were on the bus, you better be prepared to sing, ooh, ah, Chavez no se va, or be prepared to sing. We learned the chants. We learned what was happening in Venezuela. We were sitting on a bus in Caracas on our way back to Los Teques, for example. And a woman out of nowhere came on the bus and started explaining Misión Robinson. As we were sitting, we were just waiting to leave because there was traffic. It was hot as hell, by the way. Mm-hmm. We're just waiting to leave. She came on the bus, led us in a chant, led us in a couple chants, and then decided to break down Misión Robinson. As we're sitting on the bus, we're just waiting for traffic to clear up. This is how excited these people are. You see what I'm saying? She said, you know what? While they're waiting, let me go break down Misión Robinson in case they haven't found out about it just yet. Every opportunity, everywhere you go, the revolution, the Venezuelan, the Bolivarian Revolution was in your face through people actively participating, that these people truly own not only their country, but the sense of pride of it, everything that that means.
Land is the poor where we break it down. Uh-huh. Go and break it down. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Go and break it down. Uh-huh. Go and break it down. Uh-huh. Go and break it down. Uh-huh. Just break it down. Uh-huh. Now pick it up. Uh-huh.
The social missions, or Los Misiones, are what have many people excited about the revolution underway in Venezuela. Venezuela is carrying out 11 different missions in key social areas. The idea is to build civic participation and incorporate all those people coming from these programs into their economic and productive process currently underway in Venezuela. Taking control of their health and learning to read, more and more people are engaging in their communities. The government is channeling revenue from the state-run oil company to these critical public services. Misión Barrio Adentro, inside the neighborhood. This mission has reached neighborhoods, islands, jungles, plateaus, prairies, and villages. Suddenly, indigenous people, blacks, whites, children, elderly people, men and women, have a doctor within hand's reach, free medical services and medicine. This revolutionary program integrates the areas of health, education, sports, culture, and social security. Misión PR. This program protects the rights of Venezuelan minors and their families. The aim is to support them in their work and improve their quality of life. And Misión Identidad, identity. Through this program, millions of Venezuelans and immigrants without identity papers were issued ID cards. Now these citizens, too, have the right to vote. For more information about these 11 social missions and about the Bolivarian Revolution in Venezuela, check out www.venezuelaanalysis.com.
You can either go downtown and participate in the workshops, or you could go to the social programs, or you could be plucked out of Los Teques and taken on a bus secretly in the night to another province in which you stay for 3 days and you just hang out in the communities. When we arrived, you know what they did? Dance therapy is a part of Barrio Adentro. They're talking about holistic health here.
It's just one example of an emphasis on preventative care and on personal responsibility for health. So if you can think about these doctors in their revolutionary role, it's about creating this personal agency to take care of myself, take care of my family, take care of my community.
The beauty of it is they had all their elders of the community of Santa Rosalia. When we arrived, after the chief gave a speech, and she said, you know, we want to welcome you from the United States. It's important. We have this on tape. It's important for the United States to be here because, after all, you guys need to take this back and explain, you know, start having conversations with your government. They had the elders of the community and the little children of the community demonstrate for us how dance therapy works out. And then we were called upon to participate in a little dance therapy, whereby we all lined up in rows. They put on some music, and we went to work. 1, 2, 3, and 4 with the elders of Santa Rosalia. And then after we did dance therapy with the elders, the children, the little girls, 6 of them, put on a dance performance for us. Venezuelan girls can break it down.
I didn't do the social programs trip because my mission was to seek out rank and file members of the New Labor Federation that may have been attending the conference and interview them and figure out a way to organize with them. So on the day that Robinette went to social programs, I believe I was at a trade union workshop where I did actually meet several folks who were active in the UNT. The UNT is the New Labor Federation in Venezuela. The UNT formed in 2003, and that opening was made available to them through a change in labor law in 2001 that said labor unions need to have elections for their leadership. So the old school Goro Boys Union that was complicit in the neoliberal agenda kind of handed down, they were now in a position where they had to be accountable to their membership because the membership could own the show. So this new labor federation forms, and it's still developing. Obviously, it's a baby. It's brand new. They did tell me in the interview that they represent about 40% of the organized workforce, and they're very excited about young people being involved in the labor movement. One of the things that I want to do now is organize to send several young people, preferably folks under 30, who are active in their labor union here in Portland, to go down and attend a Congress of Young Workers in Venezuela and start building those relationships. Because there's no leadership coming from the AFL-CIO around solidarity with true rank-and-file organizing in Venezuela. In fact, the AFL-CIO's foreign policy arm, the Solidarity Center, has been involved in supporting the old school labor federation that was not democratic and its role in trying to oust Chavez. My interest in the new Venezuelan Labor Federation has to do with the current state of the labor here in the States and the recent split here. What can we learn about folks who are trying to build a truly participatory, truly democratic organization run by workers whose aim is complete self-management of their factories, complete worker control in industry?
There were Cuban doctors in the neighborhood. They staged an entire party for us. Everyone from Santa Rosalia in this community was out that day, dressed in red, yellow, and blue. As soon as we got off the bus, they're giving us flags. They're singing the national anthem. From little kids to the elders, everyone was out. They were putting their best face forward because they know about hospitality. Then they read us a little speech. And then we sat down with the doctors. Some of them were Venezuelan, some of them were Cuban. Then they took us. There was security concerns. So it was interesting because the military came and escorted us to this medical facility. So we get there and they sit us all down. This medical facility, which wasn't in the actual community because this is where they did some of the minor operations. So they had to house it somewhere else. It was housed inside a cemetery. So I raised my hand and I was like, why in the hell are we sitting in the middle of a cemetery? And she goes, I'm glad you asked. I bet everyone wants to know why this facility was constructed in the middle of a cemetery. Why wouldn't you just put it across the street? And you know what she says? We will make revolution even among the dead.
A few hundred Venezuelan doctors paraded on the streets of Caracas in the second week of July to protest against the Cuban doctors and paramedical staff working in their country. They maintain that Cuban doctors are depriving qualified Venezuelan doctors from earning a livelihood. The other allegation, which has few takers, is that the real goal of the Cuban doctors and other professionals is political subversion. The Cubans are deployed mainly in poverty-stricken barrios and remote areas of the country. Before their arrival, many Venezuelans had little access to basic medical facilities. Some of them in rural areas had not been to a hospital in their entire lives, and for others, the costs involved in getting hospital treatment were beyond their means. Venezuelan doctors, on the other hand, prefer to be based mainly in the capital, catering to the needs of the wealthy elite. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has made his government's priority to bring at least primary health care within the reach of ordinary people. Medical services have now become virtually free for the poor. The decision of the Cuban and Venezuelan governments to enhance their cooperation in various fields has come in the face of growing hostility from Washington toward the progressive government led by Hugo Chavez. Washington's undisguised anger only increased after Chavez's Trump triumph in the recall referendum held last year. Cuba and Venezuela's vociferous call for an alternative to the U.S.-led Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, has further infuriated the Bush administration. Cuban President Fidel Castro and Chavez have instead proposed the creation of the Bolivarian Alternative for the Americas, or ALBA, a hemispheric pact that would accelerate regional integration in Latin America. The ALBA favors endogenous development and rejects the type of employment that the sweatshop or maquiladora industry generates, because it does not contribute to the upsurge of the agricultural and industrial sectors of the poor countries and does not contribute to the elimination of poverty. While not operating as a mere export-oriented activity under ALBA statutes, agriculture instead would prioritize the food self-sufficiency of every country before focusing on profit-making processes. The agricultural sector cannot be deliberately subjected to market liberalization, while developed countries maintain policies based on multi-million-dollar subsidies and high import tariffs to protect their own internal production, thus flagrantly contravening the principles of free trade. However, ALBA considers that even if these countries eliminate their protectionist policies, the agricultural output from the developing countries still would not be able to compete because farmers and the indigenous populations of agricultural areas would still be displaced from their sources of productive work, thereby increasing the pattern of social exclusion in countries with few resources. The ALBA is also opposed to the intellectual property rights regimes on the grounds that they only protect the area of scientific and technological knowledge that developed countries control, while at the same time leaving unprotected those areas in which the developing countries have considerable advantage, the genetic biodiversity of their territories, and the traditional knowledge of peasant and aboriginal peoples. This fact also contributes to deepening the asymmetries that exist between countries. ALBA is particularly concerned with the case of medicines, since patent protection eliminates the possibility of distributing generic medicines at reasonable prices to sectors of society that have few resources in developing country. The Venezuelan government has vehemently denounced the process of liberalization, deregulation, and privatization, which limit the ability of the state to design and execute policies in the defense of a people's right to have access to essential and high-quality services at fair prices. In contrast, the FTAA advocates the liberalization and privatization of public services, thus implying that millions of people in the continent would be deprived of basic services that are needed for human survival.
You're listening to Circle A Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. We're listening to PCASC volunteers Megan Heiss and Robinette Jones talking about their recent trip to Venezuela for the 16th World Festival of Youth and Students.
We've been trying to figure out a way of coherently discussing what we felt when we were at this festival, and then afterwards when we stayed for a few extra weeks to just hang out in Venezuela and understand the vibe. Because during the festival, we were exposed to the government's favorites, the young Chavistas, who are so excited, and everyone is on message. And so we wanted to try to figure out a way to get to the bottom of that, process that a little, and be a little more critical of the situation. Because I swear after the festival, I'm thinking Chavez is a rock star. I'm totally buying into the cult of the personality. He's so funny. He's hysterical. He calls Bush Mr. Danger. He stands up, he's got this venue of, thousands upon thousands of kids, in his audience. And he says, okay, raise your hands if you're a communist. I mean, this guy is funny, and he's very confident in his rhetoric opposing the free trade and the neoliberal assault of the United States in Latin America. And he is positing, he's one of several leaders that are positing an alternative based on cooperation and human need, and not about removing restrictions on corporate behavior. Fundamental difference. So you have that element where Chavez is doing, the government is instigating the missions. Chavez is being an active anti-imperialist, and his foreign policy is kind of aimed at opposing all of these behaviors of the United States that we oppose and that we're working against, and that is really attractive. But on top of that, what we come to find out is that it's not about Chavez. That really, regular everyday folks feel ownership of this Bolivarian Revolution, and they are organized in their neighborhoods. These barrios have committees. These barrios have women involved. They have men involved. They have kids involved in making changes in their neighborhoods. And they believe they will fight to the end to protect it. And they'll tell you that they're armed to protect their revolution. A lot of the anarchist critiques of what's happening in Venezuela and different other critiques from activists on the left need to get down there before they can really understand that element of it. True popular power. And nobody's saying that the Bolivarian Revolution, that the activities of the government are perfect. In fact, they'll be the first to tell you about the corruption that's happening. They'll be the first to tell you about different counter-revolutionary elements, the old school within the administration. But they feel like they are there to hold the government's feet to the fire. And they feel like they are paying attention. And this is where the circle comes together, right? Because the government has produced this amazing literacy campaign that has given everyday folks who before couldn't read the newspaper, who couldn't read their constitution, an opportunity to understand what's happening and then become further engaged.
We went to this barrio, 23 de Enero. It's an infamous barrio. If something goes down in Caracas, this barrio and the people in it are probably responsible for it. These folks are so clandestine. They're so serious. They're slow. They're soft spoken. But when they speak, the earth will shake. They told us on the on our first day that we visited them. And one of the first things they said that really that stuck with everyone is deepening the revolution and holding the government accountable. Valentin made it very clear that it is his community's responsibility, because first of all, he said, you guys have to realize the folks in Chavez's government, not all of these folks are revolutionaries. So when there's a decision made, or when something is passed, or when there's some sort of press release or anything, if the people don't agree with that, they organize around that issue, and then they step up to the plate and say, you know what, Chavez, we're not having it. They're armed, they're organized, they are some intelligent folks. They know what is happening. So we just want to make sure that we emphasize that there was the revolution that was happening in terms of the festival, the revolution of the festival, I guess we can say. And then there was a parallel revolution that was happening in the heels of the barrios. Nelson, who's a muralist of this community, 23 de Enero, we were speaking with him and Valentin, who is another muralist. And he said, you know, they sell revolution. They sell the Venezuelan revolution to you on CNN. It's all packaged up and exported out. And he said that that revolution that they're selling to you is chaotic, is unorganized. That's the scene he was painting. And he's absolutely right. He said, you see folks going crazy and shooting in the streets. He said, it's not like that. That's not the type of program we're running.
In the military barracks of El Conscripto, we had about 500 folks from the U.S. delegation. The other 250 were housed at a Gillette factory, a sample, if you will, of the American left, with a bias from communist and socialist parties, since they are the ones who have historically organized the festival and organized attendance for the festival. The decisions about our political representation were not made in a democratic fashion, but apparently were made by some steering committee body of the U.S. delegation organizers before we got there. So there was no facilitated conversation about flags, about our message. So you had this very muddled presentation of the U.S. You had your folks throughout the opening processions shouting, free, free Palestine, free, free Palestine. You had others talking about Cuba. There was no continuity, and especially feel like in that environment, we should be there demonstrating solidarity with the people of Venezuela and uniting around that.
All throughout the festival, it was made clear to us as U.S. delegates that the beef isn't with the United people from the U.S. The beef is with the government. And yes, they are struggling with that distinction, but they wanted to let us know that they are, in fact, processing that. And when there is critiques of the United States, is definitely directed towards the government. I never once received any harsh comments or statements regarding my, you know, U.S. passport or citizenship or anything like that. It was definitely directed towards the government, and they made that clear. We didn't even have to bring it up. They initiated that conversation.
So why are we able to make our analysis of peoples all over the world a little more sophisticated and separate, for instance, the decisions of leadership or the decisions of a few rogue groups from the lives of the everyday people? There was a distinct lack of emphasis on organizing, on about communicating and organizing with an anti-oppression perspective, an anti-oppression ethic.
The very first argument or heated discussion was around, there was a huge chasm as far as image and representation and where you lie in that debate. Either, how do we represent the United States of America in a festival of youth and students that against war and imperialism for solidarity and peace? The issues of the American left is that we can't even agree on what flag we're going to carry at the ceremony. Are we going to carry a First Nation flag? Are we going to which would be followed by the American flag? Do we carry the Stars and Stripes or not? And then if we do we carry that behind a First Nation flag?
So what flag do we march behind? The end decision was to have the American flag presented in the front, side by side with a banner by First Nation folks from the U.S. The decision was to have them side by side, and that was made. The decision was made and explained that the flags were what was going to cue the beginning of the delegations.
And then there was also the image to the world, right, at the World Festival. And then there was a debate about the image of the United States to our Venezuelan volunteers. Because, you know, you have 500, as Megan said, U.S. delegates who some of them believe that the Venezuelan volunteers, some of the U.S. delegates thought that these folks were their maids and housekeepers and taxi drivers. And so we had a debate. Actually, we weren't a part of this discussion. We were scolded, forewarned to not consider our Venezuelan volunteers as such. There was, I mean, folks who were vegetarian and vegan because we were fed and housed. I mean, all of our basic human needs were provided by the Venezuelan volunteers. So this is, I mean, if you're talking about 500 people, if you've ever catered before, ever worked in hospitality, it is a logistical nightmare trying to feed 500 folks, let alone from the United States, let alone half of them don't speak Spanish. Right? So you've got these kids and you know, young people who are trying to be there for our every beck and call, basically, right? I mean, there was a lot of complaining, a lot of barking, a lot of scoffing at the volunteers who were, in fact, volunteers, right? And that needed to be, I think a lot of the U.S. delegates missed that T-shirt that said voluntario on the back. That's what I think. And I had one friend, Alma, who was actually Venezuelan. Her parents were from Venezuela, but she grew up first generation. And every single day she was pissed off because people left their trash, because you can't throw tissue paper in the toilets, right? They don't have plumbing like we do. People couldn't make that minor adjustment. The American left can't adjust. Look at that.
This brings me to a very important anecdote from our friend Alma, who is a young woman organizer in San Diego, and her family is originally from Los Teques. She decided it would be her mission to clean up the barracks because she was so embarrassed about how we'd managed to trash the place every day. She decided to go around and start collecting some of the litter and put it in a trash bag that was easily located in the office. When a young woman from the U.S. delegation came up to her like she was a housekeeper and said, "Puedo," and pointed to her can, as if, assuming Alma only spoke Spanish, assuming Alma was not a U.S. delegate doing this because she wanted to, but was getting paid to, you know, throw the trash away. Alma was so livid, and rightfully so, because that brings up a whole can of worms about racism and stereotyping. We got a lot of work to do. It was an issue. It was an issue.
The American left has a lot of work to do. A lot of ground to cover. We sent down some questionable personalities. I mean, it just has to be said. Mm-hmm. If folks are not on that page where, you know, we're not thinking that all Latinos are housemaids and, you know, cleanup folks, we need to go back a few steps before we can talk about participating in the World Festival and supporting Venezuela. You know what I mean? We have some other issues that we need to hash out. Let's talk about the International Hip Hop Summit. It was part of the festival. Speaking of, okay, so being queer, right, and a woman at this festival, it was so disheartening when I go to the International Hip Hop Summit. Now, this is the first night of the summit was the night that Dead Prez performed, right? So this is the biggest, it's the opening of the Hip Hop Summit, okay? Everyone is there. So this was the first time that all the delegation was in one space, right, in this open air festival. This is where we were really interacting because the opening ceremony, we were in our groups and we were marching and parading, right? So technically speaking, this is the first time when we were socializing and getting down. It was disheartening to hear Immortal Technique go in one of his lines, "You're not a real thug, you're a homo thug." Remember that line? What is that all about, right? Hey, he said it loud and clear, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was definitely disheartening as far as the hip hop scene is concerned. To be at a festival that is specifically anti-war, specifically anti-imperialism, but yet you have this medium, misogyny still gets through, and that material aggressive male energy still gets through. It still comes loud and clear through the mic. You know, I mean, and they're up there in the army camouflage gear, you know what I mean? And the chicks were too, you know? So you have this disdain of what the military represents in the daytime, but then at nighttime when the hip-hop concert is on, you have this praise of it, you know what I'm saying? This celebration, you know what I mean? If not, it's definitely a part of it. It's definitely an undercurrent, you know what I'm saying? And then with that, in tandem with that, you got folks saying, "You're not a real thug, you're a homo thug," whatever that means, Mr. Immortal Technique.
From January 24th through the 29th of 2006, the World Social Forum will be taking place in Caracas, Venezuela. The events will be grouped into six different themes: power, politics, struggle for social emancipation, imperial strategies and people's resistance, resources and rights for life, alternatives to the predatory civilization model, moving diversities, identities, and cosmovisions, work, exploitation, and reproduction of life, and communication, culture, and education, democratizing dynamics and alternatives. Gender and diversities are listed as transversal themes for discussion. To find out more information about the World Social Forum, you can go to wsf2006.org.
Megan and I can talk about Venezuela all day long, and I'm excited about it. I love Venezuela, yes. But it would probably do everyone great justice to hear just exactly what the Venezuelans had to say about, and the Cubans, we have some Cuban doctors also, to hear what they had to say about the UNT, to hear what they had to say about their revolution. So that's our first major project, is taking these tapes and turning that into something that people can, that's readily accessible for the community, where we're thinking folks can just come down to the PCASC office and say, hey, I want to hear what those Venezuelans have to say about such and such, and we can just go right to it. We don't know what that's going to look like yet, but we're working on it. Another next step is the World Social Forum of the Americas is taking place in Caracas, Venezuela in January 2005. We're going to start doing some community outreach pretty soon, whereby we go and talk about Venezuela just like we're talking to you right now, to young folks, which is very exciting because young people, at the end of the day, young people are the ones with the energy and the fire and whatnot. So we have some groups that have contacted us, the Panagia Project, which works with African American and Latino youth, underserved youth, and takes them on delegations to places like Ecuador to learn about issues of fair trade and things like that. So she asked us to speak with him. So we're going to do things like that, like going to talk to these kids. And I mean, our ultimate goal is to get the entire city of Portland fired up about Venezuela. That's really the main goal. And I think we can do that with these tapes to reinforce it and to actually spearhead it. And then the energy that they have provided for us when we were down there, take that and just run with it. It can be a snowball effect.
The Portland Central American Solidarity Committee challenges U.S. foreign policy in Central America and anti-immigrant domestic policy through letter-writing campaigns, call-in days, lobbying efforts, and demonstrations. PCAS contributes a meaningful level of material aid to Central American grassroots organizations and marginalized communities. PCASC offers an international perspective on domestic issues, such as immigrant rights, by demonstrating the connections between U.S. foreign policy in Central America and the immigrants pushed north by political and economic repression. They work to build people-to-people connections across borders by sending delegations from Portland to Central America and by linking grassroots organizations in Oregon, such as women's groups and labor unions, with similar organizations in Central America, thus creating international communities of resistance. Portland Central American Solidarity Committee educates the community through speaking tours, conferences, political theater, presentations, and programs on KBOO Radio. They also provide a library of international journals and up-to-date information on Central America, as well as publishing a quarterly newsletter, La Lucha Solidaria. If you're interested in getting involved with the Portland Central American Solidarity Committee, you can call 503-236-7916. That's 503-236-7916.
You've been listening to Circle A Radio. For more information about Venezuela, check out VenezuelaAnalysis.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee or to get involved, you can contact them at 503-236-7916 or info@pcasc.net. This Friday at 7 p.m., PCAS will be hosting a talk by Venezuelan activist and muralist Nelson Santano. That will be held at 7 p.m. Friday at the Musicians Union Hall at 325 Northeast 20th near Sandy. There will also be a reception for the artist Thursday, October 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Bohio Studio at 1451 Northeast Alberta. Circle A Radio airs every first and third Wednesday here on KBOO. Our next show will be November 2nd. We love feedback. You can contact us at info@circlearadio.org. And our website, circlearadio.org, is still under construction, but soon we will have archived shows online. Thanks for listening to Circle A Radio.
Soy el Papa Shanti, Soul System, mandando buenos temas a la juventud de Latinoamérica y del planeta entero. Primero Venezuela, you hear? Yeah, man.
Colectivo musical caraqueño que con empeño y con orgullo representa nuestra escuela.
Yeah, man.
Y nos pusimos como meta
alimentar a la juventud del planeta, you hear? Siga disfrutando. Yo traigo swing alocado con dulzura. Lo que sale de mi boca es la real melaza pura. No confundas energía con locura. Babilón enfermedad, Papa Shanti es la cura. Siente el poder que está llegando. El raga hip hop se está revelando. Ciudadano Papa Shanti gerenciando la movida en Venezuela que le está gustando.
Celestial, que se encuentra en tu mundo interior y natural. Men, hay que aceptar que el viaje es fenomenal. Woman, acompañada de ti, amor di, amor recibí. Sí, es así, éxtasy, sometimes suena así. Dígalo ahí en español o en inglés. Sí, yes, maravíllese de lo que está ocurriendo. La vida es un regalo, usted la está viviendo. Pues nunca hay que negar.